Beginning in verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the seat of, or the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word tonight. If you will bow with me for just a minute while we'll have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to sanctify His Word to our heart tonight and to meet every need in the house spiritually so. Our Father, I thank Thee for the privilege tonight to be back in the house of God. Lord, You said that Your house should be called a house of prayer. And I thank You for the blessed privilege that we have to call upon the name of the Lord. Thank You, Father, for the singing that has blessed our heart tonight. There's nothing like old-fashioned music to bless the hearts of the people of God. And I pray that You'll help us tonight, that You'll help me as I try to preach. And Lord, that You'll give us understanding and wisdom and open up our understanding to this text. And bless Thy Word to our hearts. Save every sinner under the sound of my voice. Meet the need of Your children tonight. I pray You'll strengthen the heart of every child of God. You'll rebuke where there's sin. And Lord, that You'll give grace to the feeble and the afflicted, the sick. We'll thank You for doing that. Pray that You'll get glory and honor unto Yourself. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I've been preaching through the book of Psalms on Sunday morning to our men's Sunday school class. And for my daily, and I've already been through this psalm to them, I believe we had maybe one or two messages to the Sunday school class out of this, off of this thought. But on past Sunday, the Lord brought me back to the book of Psalms in my daily reading. That is where I had come to. I finished up the book of Job on Saturday night. And when I went home on Sunday afternoon after church and picked up the Bible to begin reading a little while and try to get my heart prepared for the evening service, try to keep the devils away, amen. If you don't keep them away, they'll invade you now, I'll tell you that. I tried to keep my own heart and mind pure before God. And I begin reading in Psalm number 1. And I'll tell you, the Lord just really jumped this thought in my lap. In fact, I believe I could have just about have preached on it Sunday night when I came back. But if you'll notice there in verse number 3, where David said, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither." And if the Lord will help me tonight, I want to try to take that very thought, "and his leaf also shall not wither." And I want to try to bring us a thought tonight on withered leaves. Withered leaves. The psalmist David said that his leaf would not wither. Now, if in our study, and the men already know this, but in our study in the book of Psalms, we found that Psalm number 1 provides us with an overall picture and purpose of the book of Psalms. And that picture and purpose is a contrast in the life of a godly man who the Bible said here is blessed. Blessed is the man. And he's not only blessed, but he is a productive man. It said that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in its season. And so a godly man is both a blessed man and a productive man. But it gives us a contrast here for the ungodly. The Word of God says that the ungodly are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. It said that the way of the godly the Lord knoweth, but that ungodly man, that his way shall perish. And if you study through the book of Psalms, you'll see that throughout the entire book, primarily, the thought there is revealing the difference between a godly man or a saved man and that man that is lost and on his way to hell. I tell you, they live in two different worlds. They're in two different categories altogether. They're nothing alike. They're totally contrary to one another. Now, in Psalm number 1 here, if you'll notice, the godly man, that even when the fruit bearing is not in season, the Bible said that his leaf is yet green. There is yet life in this man. Now, I want you to hear what Brother Hall is saying to you. There's only one season that a tree will bear fruit. A cherry tree doesn't bear fruit in the winter months. It doesn't bear fruit really in the fall of the year. An apple tree just bears in its season. And likewise with a plum tree and all other trees, they only bear fruit in their season.
Right.
And so it is with a child of God. If you think that you do not live in seasons, brother, you need to read the Bible and get a hold of some real truth.
Yes, sir.
Because I'll tell you, just like God sent four seasons in this world, there are four seasons for the children of God.
Amen.
Brother, there's going to come a time in your life when it's springtime. I mean, the birds are singing, and the trees are blooming, and the flowers are budding out, and it just seems like everything is going your way. I mean, spring showers bring Mayflowers, and you're feeling real good. But I'm going to tell you something. There's also a summertime in your life, brother, when things, when the sun gets hot and the grass gets a little scorched and withered, and you get just a little draggy. I don't know about you, but when it gets 100 degrees, buddy, I slow down a little bit. Amen. And you're going to in your Christian life.
Yes.
When the temperatures rise and the summer months creep in, you're going to slow down a little bit.
Right.
And in the fall of the year, you know, that's a different mood that God puts us in. In the winter months, oh, I tell you, there's long and dreary and cold and nasty days in the winter months of our life. And I'm telling you, as a Christian, you and I will go through the four seasons in our spiritual life just like a tree goes through the four seasons of its life. But you know there's a big difference. In the seasons that a tree has, in the winter months, friend, its leaves fall off and they wither away. But I'm glad that when the fruit season's over, it's not long till the leaves wither and they fall off of the tree. But God said that a godly man is not that way. Brother, even though we may be in wintertime, everything's not going our way, there is some dark, dismal days, and there's some rainy nights, and there's some hard times. We're still not dead, bless your heart. We've still got a leaf that is green before God, and there's still a vibrant, living life in the child of God. He may not be a bearing fruit for God, but he's still got some green leaves that he might witness to the world that they know that man is still alive and has life from above from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. That's right. Amen. I know I'm telling it right.
Right.
Now, hear me well. There are four reasons, primarily, why a tree's leaves will wither. He said there that his leaf also shall not wither. And there are four reasons, primarily, why a leaf withers. I want to say, number one, they will wither naturally.
Right.
You just watch the trees. Brother, as sure as you're living, When summer has ended and fall sets in, those trees will turn from a bright green, they'll turn to yellow, they'll turn red, they'll turn different colors, and aren't they beautiful? But I tell you, hey, when they're beautiful, I just know that they ain't going to be long till there ain't going to be no leaves left on the trees. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what on earth is going on? They are leaving their tree naturally. Some just as sure as the fall and the winter months come, it is a natural phenomena that the sap goes down in a tree and the leaves lose the source of their strength and their food, and the leaves fall off. But brother, I'm telling you, the Bible said that a child of God, his leaves shall not wither. Brother, I tell you, our sap don't go down. Our sap always stays up. We might not be a barren fruit, but I'm glad, thank God, that there is a spirit that lives in me that provides sap, that even when there's no fruit hanging on, Brother Hall, I'm glad, thank God, that my leaf can still be green, glory to God, because the spirit of the living God is the sap of a Christian, and he said he'd never leave us, never fail us, never forsake us. He is always there to give the power that we might be green in the eyes of God and a lost and dying world. May I say this? It is unnatural for a Christian's leaf to wither. It is unnatural. It is a natural thing, buddy, for an oak tree to shed his leaves. It is a natural thing for a maple tree to shed his leaves. But when a Christian's, a so-called Christian's leaves begin to wither, wrinkle around the edges, and fall off, how do you know that something unnatural is taking place? Because the sap never leaves a child of God. Literally, that tree dies and is resurrected every spring. But you and I, we're going to die once and be resurrected, but we don't die every year.
Right.
Amen. When that spirit leaves us, we're going to die. When the sap goes, we're going to die.
Right.
But I'm glad, hallelujah to God, that there's a coming a resurrection morning when the sap's going to rise again. And that which was dead shall come alive again.
Right.
Oh, yes, sir. But brother, as long as we're living, it is unnatural for our leaf to wither because the sap's always there. Now, I want to say number two, that leaves on a tree wither because of cold weather. Because of cold weather.
Right.
I'm talking about freeze or frostbite.
Right.
Huh? Freeze or frostbite. We set out a couple of years ago some little trees around the house, and we set out a couple of little Bradford pear trees. And man, I'll tell you, this past year, didn't the weather come warm early about January? Huh? I'm trying to teach you a valuable lesson. I don't care if we jump no pews. I want to help somebody tonight. Hey, come about January this year, the weather began to warm. Buddy, those little leaves, buds came on quick, and those little buds wasn't long till they'd produce leaves. You know what happened? It wasn't but a few weeks until the warm weather was gone, and the clouds rolled in, and the skies got dark, and the temperature began to fall. And I heard Brother Doug say, there's a freeze warning in effect for the Madisonville area tonight. You know what? Old Brother Hall got up the next morning and looked out at those little Bradford pear trees, and buddy, every leaf on them was brown. I mean, they had been frostbit, and they had turned brown, just as brown as they should be. I'm telling you, the leaves had withered up. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that a Christian, my friend, can get called on God, and your leaves can wither up before God. If you're not careful, some of you in here tonight are going to get so sick and cold, frostbite's going to settle in.
Amen, preacher.
Amen. Huh? Hey,
yes.
But you know what? Somebody said, what happened to them leaves? The frostbite killed the leaves, and the leaves fell off, but it wasn't long till the weather got warm again, and the leaves come right back again.
Right.
Amen to God.
Isn't it wonderful to know that when we get cold on God and our old leaf of life may wither a little bit and turn black and wrinkle around the edges, but God will always send a warm southern breeze to blow on our old never-dying soul, warm us up again, and bring those leaves back to life and make them green all over again. That's God, boys. Hallelujah to God. Now, you hear me well now. There is a third reason. There is a third reason why leaves will wither on a tree. Because of drought. No water.
Yes, sir.
My daddy, when I was a boy growing up, we'd be out or something, be in the summertime, and the leaves would be on the trees real green, and hadn't had no rain maybe for a week, 10 days, or 2 weeks. And if you don't notice them now, if you're any kind of an outdoorsman, I'll guarantee you, Brother Robert back there has already seen it. But some of them little trees, buddy, when they don't get no rain, that little leaf, instead of cupping and hanging down toward the earth, that little leaf will reverse. And it'll start wrinkling, but it'll cup up toward the sky and start drying up and turning up toward the sky. I asked my daddy one time, I said, Daddy, I said, why does that little leaf, when it's hanging this way and it doesn't have any rain, why don't it wither on down that way? He said, it turns and withers upward because it's a begging God for a little bit of rain. I'm telling you, that's where some of y'all ought to be tonight, living in a drought, no water in your life, no dew on your life, no moisture in your soul. Instead of stepping around like you're dead and wrinkled up, bless God, you ought to turn your leaf up toward God and beg God for a little rain in your life. Now, I want you to listen, though. I want you to listen to what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 17. And I've never seen this because verse number 8-9 always overshadows about anything else in that chapter. Number 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In verse number 10, I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, so on and so forth. And about everybody quotes that verse. But what are you going to do about verse 7 and 8, where Jeremiah said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. By the way, in verse 5, first of all, he said, cursed is the man that trusts in man. I'm going to tell you why some of his leaves is a little peaked. You may be trusted in the arm of somebody's flesh,
right, yes,
rather than trusted in God. Cursed is the man that trusts in man. Oh, but he said in verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. What are you saying, Brother Hall? A tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Buddy, when the drought comes, just shoots out those little roots out toward the water in the river. Hallelujah. And they have no problem. They stay green when all other trees are wrinkling up and turning brown. That tree that's planted by the river of God's water will stay green because she's got a tap root that knows how to reach out to the water. And y'all need to get your tap root in the water. Huh? Get your old tap root down in the water. Buddy, and let it. Did you know that a tree, if it goes without water so long, that root will start looking?
Right.
It'll start smelling and looking.
Sure.
Somebody said, you're a nut. No, I'm not a nut. I know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
That root, see, nature's wiser than man.
Yes, sir.
Man will sit on his stool and do nothing. Deader than 4 o'clock in the morning, drier than the drought of summer, like in Jeremiah, I think it's in Jeremiah 15 or something, maybe it's 20 or 16, I'm not sure, about the drought. There's a story about the drought, talks about the little ones going to the wells with their water pots, trying to find water, and there's no water. I'm telling you, that's a good Baptist. Somebody said, why, Brother Hall? Hear me well. Honey, we have a river of living water in our soul.
Right.
God, heaven's name, can we sit around until our leaves are dried up and withered when we've got a tap root and all you got to do is stick your mouth into the water of the Word of God and drink all you want?
Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah. Now notice what else he said in there. He said, but her leaf shall be green.
and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Buddy, I'll tell you what about that. What about that? When drought comes, God said you can put your taproot right down in the river of the water of life and drink from it freely. There is no excuse. Blessed is that man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law shall he meditate day and night. Amen. He will prosper. Amen. He will prosper and produce fruit, and his leaf shall not wither, because he's been planted by a river.
Amen.
Now I won't shake up none of you Armenians when I say this, will I? I hope not. But I'm getting ready to say it anyway. He didn't say that that man, he didn't say that that man will be like a tree that shot up from a seed that accidentally fell somewhere.
Right.
He said he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
Amen.
Planted. A deliberate act.
Right.
God has planted us there.
Yes, sir.
He is giving us a distinction between a lost man and a saved man. Amen. A contrast. God said, they're like the chaff, but you have I planted by the rivers of water. He said, in your leaf you'll bring forth fruit in your season, and your leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever you do, it shall prosper.
Amen.
Oh, blessed be God. Hallelujah to God. Yes, sir. Leaves will wither because of drought.
Amen.
Then I want to say one other thing, and I'll try to bring the message here in just a minute that God has laid on my heart. Just a few more minutes now, and I'll get to the thought that God's given me. Just hang with me here just for a minute. Now, those leaves will wither because of one other reason, because of disease. We've got a maple tree in our yard that's been there for 10 years. That we've lived there. We had one, as you stand on the porch, it was right in front of the porch, and the wind coming back, when we come back from Mexico, had a terrible storm here a few years back, and the wind just corkscrewed that thing out of the socket and throwed it over against the house. But there's another one planted, as you stand on the porch out to the left. And I've noticed that tree every year. Are you hearing me? I've noticed that tree every year, that the leaves on it get a little more yellow every year.
Right.
They turn yellow, they get yellower every year.
Amen.
And every year it seems like there's fewer leaves on the tree, and every year it seems like the leaves have less luster, and they're just not as big, they're not as pretty, and there's fewer of them. And this year there's just a few leaves on that tree. I told my wife 4 or 5 years ago, I said, that tree has got a problem. That tree has got a disease. She said, how do you know? I said, it's leaves. But they are just not the color that they ought to be.
Right.
They're not as thick. They're not as luscious. They're not as pretty. They're not as green. And there's that tree is diseased somewhere, and its leaves are, it's going to eventually die and fall to the ground. You hear me well? When I get to the thought I'm preaching on tonight, I'm afraid that's where some of y'all might be.
Amen.
You're diseased.
Yes, sir.
You're diseased. Hey, and for a little while, them leaves look real nice. Oh, withered leaf. But eventually, they'll wither on you, buddy.
Right.
And they'll reveal. I'm telling you, your leaf will reveal what you really are before the eyes of Almighty God.
Amen, preacher.
That tree is diseased, and some of you are diseased with sin. You've never been to Calvary. You've never been born again by the grace of God. You need to get saved tonight. Let your leaf not always be green before God, and whatsoever you do will prosper in the eyes of God.
Yes.
Hear what I'm saying? That tree's diseased, buddy. And eventually it's going to die. 10 years ago, you'd have never convinced me that tree had anything wrong with it.
Right.
But it just got worse and worse and worse. Rather than getting better, its life degenerated. Hey, if you've made a profession of faith and your life is degenerated rather than getting better, you might need to check up, buddy. There may be a problem somewhere.
Right. Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. There may be a disease. You may be diseased tonight. Amen. If you just can't seem to produce a little bit, there may be a disease in your bones. That's called rebellion. Or it's called the sin of unbelief. Or call it ungodliness. Whatever you want to call it, it boils down to one final thing, that you're lost and without God. That's why your leaf is degenerate. Your religion is about to run out on you.
Amen.
Some of you it's already run out. You ain't got enough sense to know it. Amen. Now listen carefully now. I need Jerome here tonight. I want you to listen carefully. When might we expect our leaf to wither? As a real Christian, can our leaf wither? And if so, when can we expect it to be withered? Notice what he said in verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. May I say to you that you, as a child of God, your leaf will wither if you are sidetracked by the ungodly. Oh, yes. You can entangle yourself with an ungodly man. You can listen to their counsel. You can stand in their way. You can even sit down with them like Peter sat down to warm his hands at the fire of coals with that bunch of unbelieving heathen. And buddy, you mark her down. When the ungodly gets you sidetracked, it won't be long till your leaf will be withering.
Right, amen.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Help us tonight, Lord. Help us tonight, Lord. Sidetracked by the ungodly. Hey, look up here at me a minute. Bless your heart. If all you do is watch what somebody else is doing, you know what David said in Psalm 37? He said, fret not yourself because of evildoers. God, don't worry about what that crowds are doing out there. I've never seen so many Baptists that are uptight because heathen and lost people are getting by with sin and doing things and prospering in the world when it seems like we as God's children just can't have that enjoyment. God help you. If you are sidetracked by the ungodly, listen to their counsel. Sit down and listen to it, Buckwheat.
Right. Amen.
Why, there's nothing wrong with a little sin here and a little sin there.
Great preacher.
One preacher in Muhlenberg County said he cussed every now and then just to let people know he was a human.
Oh, brother.
I'm here to tell you, buddy, I don't have to cuss for you to know I'm a human. I've lived around some of you for 10 plus years and you know that I'm a human.
Yeah.
Amen to God. Now, I've lived around you the same length of time and I know, bless your heart, you're human. I don't have to cuss for somebody to know that I'm still living in my flesh. But I'm telling you, when we see the ungodly, somebody said, preacher, but they're Baptists. I wouldn't give a ragtag flip what handle they hang on their door. If they can run with the dogs, they'll catch the flea. Yes. And they ain't a bit more of a godly man than I am a Billy Goat.
Amen. Right.
Over Brother Hall, old Brother so-and-so over there can watch television. And it never bothered. If he can have it, and he's doing good, why can't I have one? If old brother so and so down yonder in so and so church, if he can smoke cigarettes and wear Bermuda shorts and go to the Wildcats ball game, and God ain't bothered. He's doing well. He's got a better home than I got a better job than I got. Him and his wife both working right there is one problem. Are you listening to me?
Yep,
why, Brother Hall, they're getting along fine, and after all, they're good, saved, upright, God-fearing, God-honoring people. Oh, I'm telling you, they are in the realm of the ungodly. The ungodly shall not stand in the congregation of the righteous, nor in the way of God, but the way of them shall perish. You get sidetracked because of that crowd. And their children's got so many more things. Don't you know you're going to warp your kids' minds if you don't let them watch television?
Great, preacher. Yep, man.
They've got every right in the world. Yeah, you've got every right in the world to let them die and go to hell.
That's
you
right.
Cannot set your children down in the midst of worldly, wicked, ungodly entertainment. Like they said on the Legal Alert the other day, the average American watches 5 hours of television every day. You can't set your kid down and influence them with that kind of worldliness and expect the preacher to preach it out of them 30 minutes on Sunday morning, 30 minutes on Sunday night, and 30 minutes on Wednesday night.
Amen.
You ain't going to do it. Oh, but they're getting along all right, Brother Hall. Fret not thyself. Because of evildoers. Hey, neither be envious of their ways, is what David said in Psalm 37.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yes. I don't give a flip what they got. I don't want what they got.
Amen.
No, sir. I'm going to tell you, you start worrying about what they got out there, buddy.
Yes,
get sidetracked. And I'm going to tell you how it starts. It starts out by walking in their counsel. That's old Brother Hollow verse for tight. Now, I'm just telling you that I've been saved for 15 years.
Great, man.
I wish there weren't any women in here. I'd pull my britches up and act like I've got on shorts. I've been saved 15 years. And look at me. Why, God ain't never chastised me for giftedness.
Great, man. Great.
He ain't never chastised me for smoking a little plug of long jeans, watching television. And just last night, I watched the Wildcats. Watched the Wildcats and spit on your wife's carpet. If I'd have been her, I'd have smacked you upside the head, bless God, and throwed you out the door. Nothing sucking that stinking stuff around in the house and spitting it all over. God have mercy.
Amen.
Folks get all bent out of joint because they see somebody with a little religious nature living like the devil that says they're saved, and they wonder why they can live that way and we can't. I'm telling you, I don't want to live that way.
Right. Amen.
I used to smoke. I even tried beef nut chewing tobacco a little bit. I don't think a dog could chew that. A hog eat anything, and I don't believe a hog put tobacco in his mouth.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? I tried all that, buddy, and I don't want it.
Right.
And it don't upset me because they got it. Listen to this. Psalm 73. I want to read this to you. Psalm 73 and verse number 4. Let's just start out verse 1. Good to read the Bible. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Do you get envious when you see the prosperity of the wicked? God help you. Buddy, I'm telling you, your leaf's going to wither, buddy.
Right.
When you get sidetracked by ungodly people.
Amen.
He said, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Why are they plagued, Brother Hall? How can they get by with this and not be plagued from it? I'm going to tell you why. They're lost. They are lost in going to hell. I say this without reservation. I make no bones about it. I'm not afraid of you or what you think or them either, but I'm telling you that probably not least 95% of all Baptist church members in the listening area of WSOF are lost. Because they can live like hell itself 7 days a week.
Amen.
You ain't going to tell me somebody like that. Say, well, I want to get in this with somebody like that.
Right. Sir.
Hey, me and my wife went to a restaurant the other day to eat dinner. There's a fellow walking around in there. No, I don't think he's a Baptist. I think he's a charismatic. Of course, they can do about anything, get by with it, you know. Because they had a vision, said they was all right.
Yeah.
They eat a little pizza. and went to bed and had a vision. It's like that angel. I see the vision. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what he's saying. Nothing.
Right.
But I saw this fellow. I know he's a charismatic. Down here at the country cupboard. And he's in there just, oh, he said, he's just patting some old lady on the back. Said, God bless you. You need to come over to our church. He said, we're planning this for the elder. And she said, he has a van that'll pick me up. He said, no, but we'll get one if you want one. I told my wife, I said, look to me like that kind that creeps into houses and leaves silly women. Lead them captive, you know.
Yeah, right.
And this guy talking about always said, and here's what he said. He said, we just love Jesus at our church. He said, now we're pretty strict. He said, we don't allow gossip. And he said, we don't allow anybody with a hateful spirit. We don't allow gossip. About 2 minutes later, I seen him get up and he said, by the way, I want you to meet my wife. And there was his wife standing there in a pair of breeches. I said, boy, ain't we godly over there? Oh, ain't we godly over there? We really are. Huh? We really are. But here's the punchline. I saw him Sunday on the way home from church. You know his wife? Had on a nice dress. Holy on Sunday and women are hell on Saturday.
Yes.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? God help us. Why do you, when you get sidetracked, if you get envious of that crowd?
Right, amen.
And I'm not talking about John Q. Lost man out there. I'm talking about religious folks out there.
Yes.
Huh?
Yep.
Amen to God.
Right.
Amen. I'll help some of you now. Move along a little bit. Notice you can expect for your leaf to wither, not only when you're sidetracked by the ungodly, but when you stray from the Word of God. He said in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. 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 Meditate day and night. His leaf shall not wither. Withered leaves. So no wonder our leaves are withering when we stray from the Word of God. Substitute it for this and that, good housekeeping and old Mama Maybell and all this mess. I never in my life. You got newspapers.
Right.
Come on now.
Sir.
But hey, just reading the Bible is not what David said. He said that man that's got a green leaf meditates in that book day and night. He goes to bed with that book on his heart, and he wakes up with that book on his heart. Huh?
Amen.
I was laying there in the bed last night, and I had my strong concordance in one hand, my Bible laying over here, and I was rubbing Miss Hall's foot. I like to rub her foot. I was rubbing that foot. And she said, told me this morning, said, I knew you was about gone. Said you rubbed it that way, and then it stopped. And about 2 minutes later, you'd rub her back that way. And said, all at once, said, the rubbing got, you just slowed down. But I fell off to sleep with that good old concordance and Holy Bible, looking up scriptures, trying to find withering leaves in the Bible, meditating in it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hey, your leaf will wither when you're sidetracked by the ungodly, and when you stray from the Word of God. Because these two things, my friend, will sever your fellowship with Christ.
Amen.
You'll be like John 15. Hey, you, if you abide in Him and His Word abides in you, you can ask what you will and it'll be done unto you.
Right.
But you start straying from that book, buddy, you ain't going to bear no fruit. You ain't going to have no green leaf. You just going to be an old, dried up, withered leaf.
Yes, sir.
Huh? That's the ugliest, by the way. Let me just throw that in. That won't cost you nothing. A withered, old, dried leaf is the ugliest thing hanging on a tree.
Right.
Oh, that's a pretty in the summertime. In the spring when they bud out and little blooms, and then little blooms turn into leaves and the leaves grow and get big. And then the fall of the year they start changing colors and they're a little yellow and they're a little red and they're a little orange. And they're so pretty. But along about the last part of the fall of the year and the early winter, they just turn old brindley brown. Just an old brindley brown just drop. And by the way, they're dry!
Right. Yes, sir.
They're crumbly. They have no substance, no moisture about them. They're just dried up leaves. Withered leaves. Withered leaves. Now, don't nobody leave me. I've only got one withered leaf. I looked this Bible over to try to find 4 or 5 or 6 thoughts that I could preach on tonight. But you know, God just didn't. He directed me to this one thought. I couldn't get away from it. I could not get away from it. God knows my heart. I'm not trying to be ugly or trying to be a smart aleck. But I want to read you in Genesis 3, when the woman, in verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. You know what the first thing they did when they knew that they were naked? When they realized they had sinned? Look here, and this is going to be my thought for about the next 10 minutes, and we're going to the house. When they realized that they were naked, realized they were sinners, did they run to God? God, I'm naked! God, I've sinned! God, I'm ungodly! I'm unclean! I'm naked! You know what they did? They sowed fig leaves.
That's right.
And made themselves aprons. They tried to cover their own sin.
Right.
If you not guess where I'm going to the leaf, the withered leaf of self-righteousness.
Amen, preacher.
I'm telling you, it's plaguing our churches.
Right.
There's a number of people in Baptist churches that have tried to make themselves righteous before God. Yes, sir. They've sold their fig leaves together to cover up their nakedness. They've tried to make themselves righteous before God. I'm telling you, that is self-righteousness. I wonder how long it was before God passed by and said, "Adam, your leaves withering. It ain't going to hold water. Eve, your leaves that you sowed to cover up the nakedness of your body's withering. They're drying up."
Right.
You see, church, self-righteousness is man's effort to cover his own sin.
Right. Amen.
Man's own effort to cover it. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, how can a man cover his own sin?" I'm glad you asked. By his own righteousness.
Right.
In other words, he tries to be righteous.
Yes, sir.
To cover up his sin. And the more righteousness he can do, the holier he becomes, only to himself and in the eyes of man, but in the eyes of God, his righteousness is still as filthy rags.
Yes, amen.
Now I'm telling you, friend, that some folks' leaves are withering.
Right.
Oh, yeah, for a little while they look green and they covered up your nakedness. But they withering and wrinkling and drying up. Now I'm telling you, it ain't going to be much longer. So your nudity is going to be shining before God and before
right.
man.
Amen, preacher.
Buddy, I'm telling you, God laid it on my heart. I searched the Bible. I wanted to preach it and asked my wife. I wanted to preach on oak trees and their leaves and palm trees and their leaves. And fig trees and their leaves. I looked up fig trees. I looked up somebody died under an oak tree. Deborah, I think the nurse of Rachel, died under an oak tree. I wanted to pick on some kind of oak trees and palm trees and fig trees. God said, "No, sir, right there on the fig leaves of Adam and Eve, buddy, is where I want you, on the self-righteousness of your people and man's effort to cover up his own sin." Look here, do you know that they use temporal means for an eternal need?
Right.
Just something temporal.
Yes, sir.
That's what folks are trying to do. They're trying to use temporal things to remedy an eternal need, and it won't work.
Right.
It will not work. Hey, they tried to mingle two substances together. They tried to use a green leaf and a thread.
Right.
Now I'm telling you, buddy, you can't mingle two together and make a man righteous. You can only be made righteous by one substance, and that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, this crowd that believes in water baptism for salvation, they're hiding themselves. They're trying to cover themselves in their own self-righteousness.
Amen.
They're making themselves righteous by doing something they can do, but I'm telling you, there's nothing you can do or I can do to be righteous before God. It's already been done, and it was done by the blood of the Son of God when He died on Calvary's tree to redeem our soul out of hell.
himself. It's already been done, and a man is freely justified by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing.
Amen. Yes.
Huh?
Right.
Man's effort to cover up his sin, he used temporal means for an eternal need, and he mingled two substances together. Thread and leaves, when all it took was the blood. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
Just the blood is all it takes. Now, buddy, hey, God give me this, and I think it's good. Hear me well what I'm getting ready to say. They used the tree's product when what they needed was the tree.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said? They used the tree's product when what they needed was the tree itself.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? That tree produced leaves. They went to the tree and pulled off the leaves and tried to cover their sin. But hey, they didn't need the product of the tree. They needed the tree. I'm talking about the old rugged cross. For it's written, curses every man that hangeth on a tree.
Right.
Oh yes, you can sow your own little fig leaves, buddy. But I'm telling you, they're going to dry and wither and fade away. Withered leaves, they're going to wither on you someday if all you've got self-righteousness.
Amen.
I've seen folks, are you here? Now don't get mad at me. I've seen folks that brag and boast about how long their hair is, and I think women ought to have long hair. But I'm here to tell you, these Baptists all over our country trying to hide their stinking sin under hair hanging down to their tail ends and their back. Their hair may be as long, bless God, to drag the floor, but their heart's as wicked as a devil.
Right.
Hey, that's their righteousness. Oh, I'll grow my hair long and be righteous. I'll put on a big long dress that drags the floor and be righteous. I'm telling you, it's starting to show. Honey, you can't, hey, you might cover your head with your hair, and you might cover your body with a dress, but you cannot cover your heart with it. It takes the blood to cover your heart. It's coming a time when your leaf's going to wither, and God will reveal what's in your heart.
Amen. Yes.
He said, I don't believe we'd make it up here. I said, why? He said, well, he said, all the family's wives wear shorts. They wear breeches to church, the women do. He said, the men's got hair down over the ears. He said, they all got televisions. He said, there ain't but three families there, and two of them's brothers. He said, I just don't believe we'd ever make it up here, Brother Hall. He said, I sure would like to have something that's got a little more holiness to it than that. You hear me well when I'm getting ready to tell you, buddy. I've seen folks hide their hatred under their self-righteousness. I've seen them hide lust under their self-righteousness.
Right.
Yes, sir. I've seen them hide envy and strife and ungodliness under their self-righteousness. Oh, you can cover it up, buddy. I'm telling you, hey, it's just like Brother Bill Nolan used to say. You can take a boar hog, buddy, and take him downtown, throw him in a shower him down, shampoo him with Prel or Brill cream or whatever you want to throw on him, put a curl in his tail, throw a little ribbon in his ear, put clothing on him, but he's still a hog!
Right. Yes, sir.
Still a hog. The leaf of self-righteousness. Can you see Adam and Eve standing there with that little old leaf, two little old leaves sewed together around them and saying, we're naked. Who told you was naked, Adam?
Right.
Who told you? See, nobody hadn't told him. Buddy, when God tells a sinner they're naked before God, they're not going to run to their own little old garbage to try to cover up their sin before God. They're going to run to Him.
That's right.
But ain't nobody said nothing. They just, folks, just get the idea. I need to be righteous. I need to be holy. I need to be right, so I know how to do it, buddy. I'll put on all the garb, learn all the language, talk all the talk.
Turn over a new leaf.
Reform.
Right.
Start all over again.
Right.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm talking about, folks, I'm talking about being saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And knowing that we're saved by the grace of God. Oh, I'm telling you, regeneration will make a new creature in Christ out of a man. Out of a woman. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, you know one thing that I have learned by being saved Honey, I don't ever intend to cover up nothing I am, because what I am by the grace of God. I just am, and I can't help it.
Right.
And I don't have to answer to you, and you don't have to answer to me. It's time left our heart that we quit playing little old silly games. Everybody knows we're sinners. I know you won. You know I've been won. We've been transformed, and we're saved. And we're none of us left God perfect in this life. Why don't we quit playing games, come to God, get saved in the grace of God, and live for Him?
Amen.
Quit trying to camouflage what we are. Whoa.
Right.
God help us.
Amen.
Huh? You may be as quiet as a church mouse. Never say a word. Cuss like a sailor in your mind.
That's right, preacher. Yes, sir.
Hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about faded leaves. Leaves will dry and crumble. Leaves will dry and crumble. But the real thing will never dry and crumble. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what must we do then? I'm glad you asked me. Brethren, Paul said in chapter 10 of Romans, and verse 1, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. Buddy, there's where we're living today. People being ignorant of God's righteousness. You see, the man just cannot come to grips with the fact that God can just impute righteousness. Somebody said, what on earth is imputed righteousness? God just says, you're righteous. That settles it.
Right.
Don't make a flip what somebody else says.
Right.
If God saves you and imputes righteousness, He just says you are righteous. He makes you righteous. You can't put on enough and cover up enough sin. Every effort you got, you cannot
right.
cover up your sin and make yourself right and clean and pure before the eyes of Almighty God.
Yes.
But all God's got to do is speak it!
Right.
And you are.
Amen.
What a God.
Amen.
Knows all about me. And still imputed righteousness. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yes. But them going about to establish, see, I'm going to do it myself. I'll do it myself. But here's the thing. To establish their own righteousness, they have not, I'm reading in the Bible, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. I'll just submit to you, Lord. You know what? When you're trying to cover up, make your own efforts to cover up your sin, you know what you're doing? You're fighting against God. You're wrestling against God.
Right.
You're not submitted. You're not yielded. You're not limp before God. Still rigid and fighting, twisting. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Submit to the righteousness of God. Somebody said, where is the righteousness of God found? Now, I'm reading from the Bible. Verse number 4 of chapter 10 of Romans. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth. Hey. Do you know what salvation is and being righteous, submitting to God's righteousness, is submitting to the Son of God? It is that simple. Submitting to His authority. Oh, somebody said, well, I don't believe in Lordship salvation. Then you've never been saved.
That's right, preacher.
Only Christ is the end of the law of righteousness. Not the end of the law. No, no. But He's the end of the law for righteousness. For righteousness. To everyone that believeth, and not only submitting to the Son of God for righteousness, but submitting to the Scriptures. Stay with me now. I'm about to finish out. Look in verse number 8. He said, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. It is in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Everybody look up here. I've heard them easy believism fellas quote that verse of Scripture, and they say, the word's nigh thee, it's even in your mouth. All you got to do is say, Lord, forgive me. That ain't what Paul's talking about. The word that is nigh them is the word of God that has been preached to them.
Right.
You know, I don't care what any man says about Brother Hall. I'll go down on record as saying I believe that it takes preaching to get a sinner saved.
Right. Yes.
Why else did God ordain the foolishness of preaching?
That's right.
We'll get them into the house of God and preach the Word of God to them. Let the Holy Ghost take the preached Word of God, put it in their mouth, and let it sink down into their heart that they might confess Christ and be saved by the grace of God. That's right, I'm telling it right. Hallelujah to God. Listen now, for he said in verse 11, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on the name of the Son of God shall be saved." Now somebody said, "Brother Hall, what does submission to the Son and the Scriptures produce?" I'm glad you said. I'm closing out with this. It produces faith and confession. Verse 9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Somebody said, "Can somebody be righteous without being saved?" They can make themselves righteous.
Right.
You can confess, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?"
Yes.
You wonder why we send out missionaries to preach?
Right.
How can they hear without a preacher?
Right. Amen.
My God, if it wasn't through preaching, why did God ordain preaching and call men of God and send them to declare the gospel if men are not saved that way?
Amen.
I'm so sick of this easy believism crowd knocking. They want to knock on this door and that door and win somebody to God through a screen door. I'm telling you, it's time, bless God, that we preach!
Right. Yes. Amen.
Amen. That's right. How shall they hear without a preacher? How many of you fellas do not want to go? They ain't going to hear without one.
Right.
And I'm not talking about some little mamby-pamby, whistle-britches, jack-legger, soft, velvet-tongued egg sucker that wouldn't preach nothing.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm talking about somebody lift up their voice like a trumpet, cry loud, preach! Get a little God on you and preach! I'm telling you, I've heard men preach and they ain't got enough God on them to convict an ant, much less a sinner.
Right.
How shall they preach except I go, Brother Hall, I've been called. Preachers are not called, they're sent.
Amen.
How shall they preach except they be sent? God called me to salvation, but He sent me to preach. I've heard men say, "I've been called to preach." "Where are you going?" "I don't know. I just know I've been called to preach." Bull. You can tell them I said that. Bull. When God spoke to Paul in chapter 16 of the book of Acts, He didn't say, I saw a vision last night to go preach." "Where was it, Paul?" "Don't know, but I'm going. I've been called." Son, I know when God sent me from Bible Baptist Church in Sellersburg, Indiana, He said, "You just leave the house of your fathers to a land that I'll show you, and I'll be a blessing to you there, and I'll bless you there. Just get up and go." I said, "Where, Lord?" And He said, "I'll show you." Within 2 weeks, I was sitting on the Green River in a little old white weatherboard building over there with the paint wrinkled up off of it. Smelt like a fish hatchery, bless God, with some old man trimming his fingernails and a shacked up woman in there. But I was there preaching. I was there because God sent me. When God sent, God opened the door. You don't have to knock her down, buddy. God will open her up and put you where He wants to. Poor little old God. Can't put His men where He wants them. He just got to let them go out in limbo and find something. Bologna.
Amen.
Don't work that way, gentlemen.
Right.
You can say, "Well, Brother Hall, I don't know any other preachers that preach that." They've got the right to be wrong if they want to be. Then y'all know how God sent me.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. How beautiful are the feet. Y'all want to look at mine? Hey, God, they're pretty, ain't they? Look at that, boys. Woo! Hallelujah to God! How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and glad tidings.
of good things.
I'm preaching glad tidings of good things, that your sin is under the blood, glory to God, has been forgiven, and the righteousness of God can be imputed through the Son of God.
But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
Withered leaves, that old self-righteousness is drawing up. I wonder how long it took Adam's leaf to shrink.
Right.
You know what people do when it shrinks enough? They start trying to find something else to cover up with.
Sir.
Before long, they'll be telling lies. They'll be telling lies. They'll be deceitful. They'll be involved in iniquity that they cannot get out of.
Right. Amen.
Withered leaves. Withered leaves. Let's read the text one more time. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also. What about you tonight? You got withering leaves? Or are you like a green bay tree that spread its branches? Huh? Withered leaves. I wanted to preach on some different trees. God said that right there.
Amen.
Somebody in here tonight may need to get saved. But stand together. I've said everything God wants me to say.